Fuck you, asshole.
Get ready to fuck! You fuckers, fucker! You fucker!
Fuck your feelings.
You moron.
Suck my dick.
You are so stupid.
Shut the fuck up.
Go fuck yourself! Go fuck yourself! Go fuck yourself! Go fuck yourself! Go fuck yourself!
Ah, the good old days when people said what was really on their minds and weren't muzzled by little pencil-necked manlets in Silicon Valley. Weren't intimidated or censored by the Marxist coin term hate speech. Words do matter. Sometimes they hurt. And what's wrong with that? Isn't it time to take the gloves off? Language, direct, clear, harsh, and sometimes profane language, just might be the salvation of the world. How's that, you ask? Hang on, I'll tell you.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hands off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
Larry. Ah, those terms of endearment. Anglo-Saxonisms. Curse words. Foul language. I've always loved them. I've used them. Well, with discretion, of course. With you, my friends, my family, some people overuse them, then they lose their punch. You have to be strategic about using them. They are the spice of speech. Without them, discourse can sound as bland as Mr. Rogers. No matter what's being said, the soundtrack under the words is... Somebody should do a Scoville scale for hot words, same as they have for spices. They should do one for words considered most offensive at this moment, and compare it with a chart from, I don't know, 10, 20, maybe 50 years ago, and then compare and contrast that with those same words in other English-speaking countries. English is, of course, derivative of German, an extremely guttural language. Not that it's from the gutter, but many of the consonants emanate from the back of the throat. There's something very satisfying about that K consonant, isn't there? It's almost like hocking a loogie. And when you precede it with an almost plosive F, well, that's kismet. I took a lot of Spanish in school. I had good friends from Colombia, Mexico, Venezuela, Cuba. There was a time when I could understand much of it and make myself understood in a very basic way, but I've forgotten most of that. Of course, I made an effort to first learn Spanish curse words. But they're simply not as vituperative and bile-soaked and corrosive as their iron-fisted English counterparts. It's interesting how certain words switch positions on that linguistic Scoville scale. As a kid, the big kahuna was fuck, or as our infantilized culture often calls it,
the F word.
There's something so funny about that idiom, because it's so ridiculously juvenile. Grown ass adults, afraid to say a silly word, so they put it in preschool code. The first time anyone referred to any word by its first letter, well, that was the beginning of the end of free speech. Some people call it the F-bomb. That's pretty stupid, too. Yeah, as a kid, fuck was at the top of the bad word list. Adults might give you a pass on shit and piss and bitch and bastard. You almost never hear bastard anymore. Although I recently saw a true classic t-shirt ad on YouTube. And the woman called her husband a fat bastard. It was funny. You will get old and die, and so will your great-grandchildren before anyone on YouTube calls their wife, or any female, a fat anything. Why is that, Pee-wee?
I don't know!
Over the years, fuck has been so used and overused, it's not a bomb at all, it's more like a cap gun. The new bomb word might be the C-word. Cunt. Why does that word have such power to shock and offend? Any night of the week, Kimmel or Fallon or any TV wonk will call someone a dick, and no one bats an eye, but they never ever say cunt. In the book and movie The Exorcist, there was this character named Burke Demings. He's a film director and British and a drunk and abrasive but funny in a very acerbic way, and somehow he pisses off the possessed kid, so she twists his head around a full 360 and flings his lifeless body out a window. Now, in the book, not the movie, Burke is fond of using the word cunting. I'd never seen or heard that word before reading that book. I wonder if it's common in British usage. Was that word what enraged the demon so much she killed him? Why is there no equivalent male word? Ever heard the word dicking or cocking? Well, dicking around and cocking a pistol, yes, but that's not the equivalent of cunting. Have you noticed that all these words have mostly vanished from social media? Twitter deems them hurtful and hateful and harmful and abusive. In some contexts, they are. But why is that a bad thing? Public discourse has become so restricted and vapid that damn near everything and everybody sounds like Mr. Rogers or Bill Gates or Zuckerberg. Every word is carefully chosen and vetted and scripted. It's the same way with politicians. It's all sound bites crafted to mollify or confuse the mouth-breathing masses. Truth is becoming very hard to speak or find. How did this happen? It happened because long before social media began to outright censor speech with amorphous and meaningless criteria like hurtful, hateful, and harmful, schools and corporations and government, well, they were using ligature words like inappropriate to strangle free speech. Have you noticed you don't hear inappropriate so much? The much stronger and just as impossible to define hateful, harmful, hurtful have replaced inappropriate, along with a melange of phobics, insert your own prefix. In the near future, as those ligatures continue to tighten, they will dispense with the three H words and simply use one word, and that will be forbidden. Once they start using forbidden, that'll nail shut the coffin on free speech. No justification will be given or needed. It will simply be forbidden. And once it's forbidden, it will concurrently be followed by this phrase, punishable by, insert fine or prison term. This is already a reality in Canada, where one guy was fined $55,000 for stating in public that males wearing female clothing are still male. In the UK, misgendering, another invented word that's also a hate crime, another Marxist word, well, that's a criminal offense. How long until this will be the case in the USA? Restricting speech, any speech, that's the real crime. People should have the right to say anything to anybody, and anybody should have the right to knock that person on their ass. That's the way things used to be done, and the world functioned a lot more smoothly. A while back, I attended a party where some self-righteous chooch bloviated about how he had taught his children to treat everyone, everyone, with respect and dignity. He sounded that way because he had a set of false chops and the polygrip was coming loose. I wasn't about to argue with him. He was virtue signaling and very proud of his statement and clearly a moron. Does everyone deserve respect and dignity? To pedos and rapists and murderers and arsonists and human traffickers. Well, the government doesn't think so. Ask anyone who's done any time. The first thing they do is strip you of your dignity. Like making groups of new inmates squat naked for half an hour so they can't retain any weapons up their asses. That's not very dignified. or respectful. But the criminal comparison is too obvious and easy. What about non-criminals? What about law-abiding assholes with agendas so vile and evil as to surpass many people who are incarcerated for lesser crimes? Law-abiding assholes like politicians or social media influencers or TV teleprompter readers like, oh, say, Keith Olbermann. He has no significant TV audience and never really did. So in a recent tweet, he went after Joe Rogan. Here's what angry, righteous Keithy had to say.
The gullible are not only being killed by amoral political assassins like Trump, DeSantis, and Rand Paul, but they're actually being led to their deaths by a brain-dead, half-wit, D-list comedian named Joe Rogan.
Then he has a screenshot from a website saying, quote, Podcast King Joe Rogan says, vaccine passports move us closer to dictatorship, unquote. I'll bet you the phrase podcast king really got Olbermann's skid mark panties in a knot. Has anyone ever crowned Olbermann king of anything? Maybe king of insufferable, pompous, smooth-brained, talentless assholes? That might be Keith's crown. Who knows what Rogan's ranking is among comedians? It doesn't much matter. His podcast is the most successful in the world, and he has a $100 million check from Spotify to prove it. Any given episode of Rogan probably cumes a bigger audience than Olbermann gets all year long. By the way, I rarely listen to Joe Rogan, but he's dead right about vaccine passports. They are a sick and evil notion. Rogan's some kind of martial artist, isn't he? He looks pretty formidable. Olbermann looks like he lives on soy products and gets his exercise riding a Sibian. In an alternate universe, it would be fun to see Olbermann and Rogan in the octagon. Watch Rogan chase him around for a moment, then hoist him over his head and snap him across his knee like a rotted zucchini, and then toss both mushy halves into the audience. Even better, in this universe, if some electronic genius could find a way to hack into Olbermann's broadcast, and when he begins to spew his bullshit,
get vaccinated, the time has come, it's safe, it's free.
Shut the fuck up.
To be clear, anyone who wants to be vaccinated should be vaccinated. It's their choice, and they should be free to make it, and hopefully those shots will provide a lifetime of protection from the Wuhan virus. But the moment anyone says vaccinations should be forced and vax passports are a good thing, well, we're not friends anymore. Forced vaccinations and or passports are not concepts open to respect or civility any more than genocide might be something to consider and vote on. People who support those things deserve abuse, hostility, and ridicule. Maybe a broken jaw, too. Unfortunately, none of those responses can be delivered via Twitter. Their little bots and algos will shut you right down. Just today, a listener named Connor posted a fascinating tweet on this show's Facebook page. By the way, you can follow this show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Mastodon. All the links are on the homepage at thatlarryshow.com. So this AstCo, that's Asshole Seeking to Control Others, a blue check marker, of course, he tweeted and tagged both Keithy Olbermann and Rogan with the following statement.
My position is we must make the lives of the unvaccinated a total misery and keep escalating the exclusions until we crush the resistance and break their spirit in order to force compliance and so they learn not to resist government mandates.
That asshole is a retired school teacher in Canada and writes some shitty, unreadable blog of commie propaganda. Does someone who would write something like that deserve anything but abuse? He wants to make other people miserable. Shouldn't he be made miserable? That begins with dispensing with any semblance of respect or civility and calling him a punk, an asshole, and never stop abusing him until his diseased spirit is broken. Most of all, call him a vax Nazi, because that's what he is. Couple of things to beware of as this battle progresses. Losers always begin their responses to cretins with the following phrase.
With all due respect.
Astcos are not due respect. They are due contempt and ridicule, and often criminal prosecution. Another phrase to watch out for that's a favorite of commies in political shitfights is...
That's an ad hominem attack.
That the statement is an attack on the person or their character rather than their argument. Ad hominem is a bullshit phrase because people are their opinions. That's what makes them them. So if Keith Olbermann supports Nazi-style laws, he is a Nazi, a vax Nazi. This teacher from Canada, he's a vax Nazi too. The COVID vaccination promises are dissolving before our eyes. Remember what they said at the beginning?
100% safe and effective.
Then they said,
well, sure you're sick, but that proves it's working.
And then they said,
we never said it would protect you from infection, just that if you do get infected, your symptoms will be mild.
Now they're saying,
well, okay, you got pneumonia, you wound up in the hospital, and your heart is enlarged. But if you weren't vaccinated, you'd be dead.
Next it will be,
well, of course you're dead, but now you can no longer spread the virus, so that's a good thing.
Dr. Robert Malone, the guy who invented the mRNA technology used in Pfizer and Moderna shots, he says that the vaccine failure is more than troubling. He throws a brick right at Fauci's lying mouth and says, watch Fauci and the experts soon begin to pivot away from vaccines to therapeutics.
So we predicted that there was going to be a pivot, and lo and behold, this impromptu think tank presentation in which Tony Fauci is clearly reading off of notes all the way through. Now, if you listen to what he said, it sounds an awful lot like ivermectin, frankly, with the exception that Tony continues to be dug in on the idea that we have to have an antiviral approach. That's been his position from the get-go. Furthermore, further on in this interview, he emphasizes only the drugs in development by the large pharmaceutical companies, including Merck and Pfizer. Tony has no strategy. Right now, we are in free fall. The decision makers in the government right now have been, their core assumptions about what they're going forward with, the whole thinking has been flipped. They don't know what to do, and they're winging it.
That's pretty clear. The overwhelming evidence coming in from all over the world is that the mRNA vaxes are not, in their parlance, durable. Them little antibodies are disappearing a lot faster than they anticipated. Infection rates from Massachusetts to Israel are actually higher among the vaccinated. It's a fact. A fact they are not happy about. The lies are crumbling before their eyes. But government, well, it can never, ever be wrong, can it? No. It must be infallible. So the essence of that pivot, well, look for a Fauci statement like this any day soon.
If you got the vax, good. Keep getting vaxed. Vax, vax, vax. But we're so brilliant that we care so much about you. We have created a treatment for those breakthrough infections, which are so rare. But just in case, we're coming out with a new drug that'll knock those symptoms down fast.
You heard Dr. Malone. What Big Pharma will do is simply change a molecule in the ivermectin recipe and sell it under a new name. No more symptoms or some shit. Should be fun to see what they come up with. Then Joey and little Tony and all the rest of those bullshitters can strut around like heroes, and the masses will cheer and love them more than ever. Meanwhile, how many hundreds of thousands died because government refused to accept that treatment for this disease with drugs that existed for decades was a viable option? I've said it many times, this disease is no hoax. It's quite real, and many people have died. What has been unreal are the lies we're being fed by politicians and fraudulent experts. There's a war on, folks. And as the U.S. Marine Corps says, if you find yourself in a fair fight, you haven't done your job. Fair fighting is for losers. Offer no respect and no civility. Call them liars. Call them punks. Call them frauds. Tell them to fuck themselves. And most of all, call them Nazis. Those who support forced vaccinations and vax passports, because that's what they are. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes. While there, help me fight this fight and click the Patreon or PayPal button to support the show. There's also a P.O. box if you prefer U.S. mail. And if you dig what you just heard, send a link to your friends and give the show a 5-star review wherever you download. It really helps it grow. I just returned from an epic 7,000-mile road trip. So come back next Wednesday and ride shotgun with me on that journey. It will be fun. Until that time, take no shit.